Hi, I'm Ben Pilgreen, lead pastor of Epic Church in San Francisco, and I want to welcome you to the podcast. Our vision here is to see an increasing number of people in San Francisco orient their entire lives around Jesus. But whether you're listening in from the city that we love here by the bay, or wherever you might happen to be in the world today, I want you to know that I'm excited about what God is doing in your life and what He's doing in our Epic Church community. I hope you'll find this message encouraging and that it will inspire you to take your next steps along your faith journey. God created your life to make a difference, and because that's true, we've created an event here at Epic called Next to help you understand what difference you're supposed to make. It's next week, 1 week from today, during this 10:30 gathering in the Connection Center, which is the classroom right behind this wall, just outside of the auditorium. And I know some of you are thinking, like, Ben, I've already been there. I've already done that. That's hilarious because we've never done one before. You haven't. The first one we've ever done is a week from today. They're going to happen quarterly, but one of the things we know is that you've been uniquely created by God to do unique kinds of things, and we're going to expose you to opportunities, and one or two of those might be what God has you doing here in our church, in our city, through your everyday work, and so be there next week. Again, you can let us know, card, app, all of that stuff. But for today, we're in part 5 of this Bring It Out series, and if you've missed any of the previous 4, I want to encourage you to go back and watch or listen to those, because God has been doing something transformational in our church. Nobody gets extra money if you go back and watch those, okay? But from what we've heard from so many of you, conversations, emails, just things that our team has told me about that they've been hearing and experiencing, God's been doing something profound. And so if you miss any of the previous 4, let me encourage you to go back and get 1 or 2 or all 4 of those if today's your first time to be here for the Bring It Out series. But for today, here's where I will begin. All of the best things in my life didn't happen overnight. Anybody else? If your experience has been the opposite, please don't raise your hand. I don't need to know that. Everything in my life, at least the best things in my life, they've all taken a bit of time. And in every single case, on every occasion, I always wish it would have happened faster, sooner, quicker, whatever your word is. I wish it would have happened faster, but I'm so glad for the best things, at least in my life. I'm so glad that when I was tempted to give up, I didn't bow out or give in. Aren't you glad that there's things that you stuck with? And if you've never stuck with anything, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. But hopefully you've at least stuck with a few things and you realize that the very best things in your life, they didn't happen overnight. They took time. When you were tempted to bow out and give up or give in, you stayed in it, and now you're hopefully reaping something really beautiful in your life. I really thought early on that my life would be like, it would just, all the best things would happen immediately. So when Shauna and I got married on December 16th, 2000, I thought we'd have the perfect marriage day one. Why not? I loved her. She loved me. Who cares that we never lived in the same time zone while we were dating? Like, day one, we're going to have this thing figured out, and gosh, we just didn't. She probably did. I am a work, hopefully in progress. But guys, 18 and a half years later, because of what we've sown into, our marriage is at a really beautiful place. And yet at the same time, I hope 12 months from now, I can stand up here with integrity and honesty and tell you, hey, we've grown more this past 12 months than we ever have before. It's taken time. I think about Epic Church. I wish it would have started like this, but it took time. There were 16 months that went by between when I knew God was calling us to start this church and when our family moved to downtown San Francisco to start this church. And when we moved, there were 8 months between when we moved and when we launched weekly gatherings. So if you can do the math, 16 plus 8, right? 24 months. It was 2 years. Let me tell you what happened along the way. So often along the way, I wanted to go ahead and start this church. I knew you were beautiful people. I wanted to go ahead and get this up and running so you would have a place to come. But let me tell you why I'm so glad that we went through the process and even the length of time it took. There is no doubt a health and a strength in our church today that would not have been here had we not have done that kind of work for that length of time on the front end. I promise you. And then I think about my wife, Shauna, and I bringing Kavita, our daughter, into our family. That was a tough one. It was tough because it took a long time. Not only did it take a long time, it also, it's one thing to give yourself to something for a long time and to know it's going to pay off, but have you ever given yourself to something for a long time not knowing if it would ever pay off? That's kind of where we sat in our adoption process. We had been denied 2 times prior, and I remember a Monday, particularly, I was somewhere in the city walking around, and I got the phone call. I don't know why the adoption agency called my cell phone rather than Shauna's, but I got the phone call, and they let me know that for the third time, we had been denied the opportunity to adopt Kavita from the country of India. And I called Shauna, obviously not super excited, a bit of despair, and I just said to her, honestly, guys, Shauna, should we just give up at this time? Kind of like, we've done our thing. They're telling us it's not going to happen. Thankfully, she said, no, we shouldn't give up. And as many of you know, through some miraculous events, Kavita has been in our home for over 4 years now. But we've not just learned that with Kavita. Parenting our other three boys, you guys, we know that there are things we're sowing into their lives today that we might not see for years down the road. Here's what you've got to know. I'm so thankful that the very best things in my life I didn't give up on when I was tempted to give up on. I'm guessing the same is true for you. Which makes me wonder this, how many things have you and I missed out on because we did give up too soon? How many things did we bow out on when the breakthrough was just around the corner? How many things did we walk away from because we couldn't stay in it and be patient for a bit longer? If that's true, that the very best things in your past have come about over an amount of time, it's probably true, don't you imagine, that the best things in our present and our future will take place the same way? Anybody besides me? I want it to happen overnight. I wish I could tell you today, hey, we're going to give you a pill on the way out, and you're just gonna go ahead, and when you take the pill, whatever you want to happen, it's going to happen within 10 seconds. Anybody want that pill? I know it sounds tempting, but guys, we would miss out on so much. So what I want to do today is give a talk I'm calling It Will Come Out. It will come out. Here's the question I want to lead with today. I really want you to be thinking about the questions today. I want you, in fact, to take time, not just in the moment, but really wrestle these questions down to some legit answers for your life. Here's the first one. What beautiful reality might be on the other side of your perseverance? What really beautiful reality might be on the other side of your perseverance? When you think about what could be possible for your life, you think like, oh, that would be amazing. I just don't know if we'll ever get there. But just think about what could be there, not on this side of your perseverance. No, no, no. You're going to have to persevere to get there. And our text for today that I want to launch into this It Will Come Out message is Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. So if you got your Epic Church app, all of my scripture notes are there. If you've got a Bible application of some kind, you can find it. But would you stand with me, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10? Let me tell you this. There are only four verses in our main teaching for today, but I believe these four verses could shape or change everything for us. They're going to tell you about what happens based on what you sow into. This idea is prevalent in the scriptures, and you need to know it. Whatever you're sowing into is eventually going to come out. More on that in just a moment, but here's what Paul writes for this section of Galatians. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, what do? As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Listen to me. Listen to me. There's something amazing on the other side of us staying in the fight. There's something beautiful on the other side of our perseverance. And whatever the good that you are tempted to give up on, I want to give all I've got with the help from God and His Spirit to encourage you and give you courage in your spirit, in your life, to stick with it, because whatever you sow will eventually come out in your life. Have a seat and let's get to this. First idea is this. All of us will eventually reap what we sow. All of us will eventually reap what we sow. It doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter our wealth or net worth. It doesn't matter what our job is. It doesn't matter our gender. It doesn't matter if we've been in church our whole lives or this is your first day. Welcome to Epic, by the way. All of us will eventually reap what we sow. And here's why I throw in that adverb, eventually. Because you know this, oftentimes there's a distance between what we sow and what we reap. Would you agree? And the problem with this is that it's not just true on the positive things in our lives, it's also true in the negative things in our life. So Paul says this, do not be deceived. Why would a person who's thinking about the concept of sowing and reaping, why would it be easy for that person, why would it be easy for us to fall into deception? Here's why. If there's a distance between sowing and reaping, then I can sow something today but not see the result or consequence of it today, which means I'm deceived because I think I will get away with it if it's bad forever. And if it's something good, I think nothing's ever going to come. So I'm deceived into thinking that it doesn't matter. He says, do not be deceived. He says, God will not be mocked. You need to hear this. I don't care how you think you've got a shortcut around God's ways for your life. I don't care if you've come up with a new religion in your mind or if you're trying to redefine who God is. You've forgotten that you were made in his image. He wasn't made in your image. Here's what you have to know. God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. And the problem with us being deceived is, here's what happens if you're sowing into a sinful behavior or some lifestyle or pattern. Here's what happens. You begin to sin and there's no immediate consequence. So what do you do? Anybody? Only the pastor has this cycle? So you begin to go deeper into that sin, and you're still like, no punishment or consequences yet. God, you are wrong, right? This word mocking God, it literally means to turn your nose up at God in mockery or contempt, essentially saying to God, I know you said this. I'm doing the opposite. It doesn't look like it matters. Let me tell you a gift. I think I left this out at the 9 o'clock, so this is why we do multiple services. One of the best gifts God could give you won't feel like a gift initially. Here it is. One of the best gifts God could give you is to get you caught in your sin early. Ben, why would that be a gift? Because when we don't get caught in our sin early, we go deeper into it. And we end up in what are called habits that lead to things called addictions. And we think it's never going to catch up with us. And guys, it always catches up with you. Girls, it always catches up with you. God will not be mocked. He won't. One of the things we pray for our kids, they don't love that we pray this for them. We should pray it for our own selves as well, is that they'll get caught in their sin early. Because we know the ramifications of getting caught in your sin early are a lot less than they will be later on. Anybody ever been there? Right? And you got away with it, so you kept indulging it. There was no immediate consequence. So you're like, wow, that was fun. Let's do it again next weekend. And next weekend became 5 years. It will catch up with you. A person, any person, eventually, reaps what they sow. So he says, if you sow to the flesh, you will not reap eternal life. You will instead reap destruction. Why? Because if you sow into the things that are against God's best for you, you're going to live a life away from God. And it would be crazy to live your earthly life away from God and to somehow think you will have eternal life one day with God. It just doesn't make sense. A lot of people throw out this logic. Ben, if God is loving, why would not everyone get to spend eternity with him? Someone said, I think it was Dallas Willard, he said that God will let everyone into heaven who can possibly stand it. But if you want nothing to do with God here, why would it get better in eternity? It would just be a lot longer with the God you want nothing to do with here. Guys, sometimes we just need to use logic and ask ourselves real honest questions. Let me tell you one of the reasons why we sow to the flesh and give in to sin, oftentimes, even though we want to do good. I believe that every person in this room has good intentions. I believe that. In fact, you guys didn't know this, but for 37 years in a row, I've won the gold medal at the Good Intentioned Olympics. I mean, just killing it when it comes to intentions. I've got goals like you wouldn't believe. I have ideas when I go to bed at night. I mean, if you could just see my dreams, if you could just see the man I want to become, you would be so inspired. But here's what happens. We all have good intentions. I even believe most of us watching online or later in the week or right here in this room, most of us, I believe, even want to live in God's best for us. But let me tell you why we oftentimes don't. We've learned, and it's true from the scriptures, that the good things in our life we have to sow into for a while before we usually reap them. But the sin in our lives, a lot of times we can get an immediate result from it, can we not? No, just me. Anybody else? You're just like, wow, the good stuff is taking too long, but I can have that or him or her or that business immediately. Andy Stanley says it this way. He says this, don't trade what you want most for what you want in the moment. How many? Do not raise your hands. We all have these. How many of us, the majority of our regrets, or dismissing what it would have taken a long time to build that was positive in our lives, and we gave in a moment because you can have things in a moment. I'm going to give you some categories, and I want you to tell me which one is true, okay? What can you have in a moment, a one-night stand or 19 years of a strong marriage? Don't play this game with me, church people. What? Come, like, man, I don't know. I mean, my neighbors, they have a pass, but I don't, like, it's amazing. We act like that's foreign to us. One night stand. Isn't that incredible? Some of us have abused substances because it could give us a feeling in the moment, but how did that work for you 2 weeks later? How did that habit build positive things in your life? How did that addiction help you out? I think about people in the business world, people who fudge things so that their stock will go up in the moment rather than thinking about the long-term characteristics of their company. How many things that we really wanted most, we were well-intentioned, did we give up? Because in the moment, we could have something else. The best things that God has for you, they're not going to happen overnight. Don't trade, though, what's best for what's quick. Don't trade what's best and hard for what is easy. Knowing that you're going to reap what you sow, all of us are, here's a question I want to ask you, and I really want you to, again, wrestle this down. The question is this: what in your life do you need to give up? What in your life do you need to give up? What do you need to just have a funeral for? Paul said it this way in other writings he had. He said, count yourselves dead to sin. What in your life do you need to give up? What habits, what addictions, what behaviors in your dating life? What are you doing at the office that you know God will never bless, even if you and your teammates are getting away with it right now? What do you need to walk or maybe run away from in your life now because you know if you're going to reap what you sow? I'll ask a question in a more poignant way. A few years ago, I did a teaching series all online. It's called Never Go Back. And there was this question that we asked every week. And even this week, we had our monthly all-staff lunch where I try to teach some leadership truths or focus in on a component of one of our values here for our staff team at Epic. And I want to ask the question that I asked in the series and that I asked our team this week. Here it is for you. It's huge. What is present in your life that could hijack God's vision for your future? My guess is every person breathing in this room has something present in our lives that if we hang on to it, if we keep going that direction, if we don't let that thing die, if we keep going deeper in it, if we let it be present, my guess is it's going to take us out and wreak havoc on a future that could have been this glorious future God created. I really want you to think about it. What is in you? What is your character like right now? What habits do you have right now? What are you doing and what are you not doing? What are you spending too much time on that you should spend less time on? What are you spending time on that you should spend none of your time on? Because you need to know whatever you're investing in, that's your sowing mechanism. Whatever you sow into your life, you will reap in your life. Is there something you need to walk away from? My guess is absolutely there is. My guess is you don't have to think a lot about what that might be. Doing it may be a different story, but my guess is most of us know exactly if I keep going down this route, it's going to sabotage my future. What in your life do you need to give up? I want to ask that question again, but I want to add one word to the question, and that one word I'm adding to the question changes everything. Here's the question. What in your life do you need to never give up? Like, you're not seeing fruit from it yet, but you're sowing into God's spirit, as the scripture says. You're on your way to eternal life, but you're not seeing fruit yet, so you're tempted to give up. What in your life do you need to never give up? Even if you don't see the plant coming up yet, what in your life do you need to keep doing? Here's some things that you might want to keep doing. Keep worshiping God even when you're not seeing Him answer your prayers yet. Keep serving other people in this community, in our city, and in our world. Keep being generous. Keep loving your neighbor. Keep seeing your character transformed into the same character that Jesus Christ has. There's so many things I want to say to you. Don't give those things up. Do you know what those things are? Anything you've been doing the right thing in, you're tempted to give up, but I'm just telling you, don't give up. What do you need to never give up? See, some of you have had integrity and you haven't gotten the promotion, so you think, should I lay that down so that I can actually get the promotion? Do not lay that down. God will not bless that. Don't give up. Some of you, and I hear this a lot, I hear this a whole lot. Ben, there are just no great Christian men, or Ben, there are just no great Christian women, so I'm going to lower my standards and I'm going to yoke myself. I'm going to position my life with someone who wants nothing to do with God. Don't settle. And I know I get emails like, Ben, if we're not going to settle, we need you to be matchmaker. 3% of all future earnings, I'm in. So many things going through my mind. What is it? What is it that you need to keep sowing into? Because one day it's going to pay off. And you're on the brink of bowing out, maybe when the breakthrough is just around the corner. Tim Keller, in his great book, Galatians for You, just a guideline to go along with this book in the Bible, he says this about our passage for today. He says, imagine that there's a new farmer, and he or she, they've never done a cycle of sowing seed and experiencing a harvest. And so when they put that seed into the ground, they watch it in a super anxious way. Does that make sense? If you think about the first time you ever did anything at your job that's old hat now, it's a little anxious, right? Like, oh, is anybody going to show up at our church? Or So the farmer, he or she, they put the seed into the ground, and they just start watching it. And the experienced farmers, you know what they're doing, right? They're off to the side going, I can't believe he's just looking at the ground. And they come back the next day, and he's just looking at the ground. He says, in the same way, those of us who haven't walked with God long, or we're new, or we've coming back to our relationship with Jesus, you might think the things that you're sowing into God's Spirit, you're like, I just don't know if they're ever going to come up. You need to know that they will come up. Otherwise, this whole thing is in vain, and let's go do something outside of church that would be really fun right now. There's no point in me being here if God's not going to hold his promise. What do you need to stay in the fight with? If you're going to not give up, though, you've got to have a vision. Right? There are things in your life today, if you thought that's where they were going to end, you should live in despair. Would you agree? The things you're seeing in your kids, you're like, if that's where they end, oh my gosh. Right? Anything you're seeing in your career or vocation, you're like, if this is where it ends, oh boy. There are things in our church, I'm like, if this is as much as we're going to get done, oh. You've got to have a vision for what could be. All the time these days, didn't happen a decade ago, what I'm about to tell you, but a lot these days, people ask Shauna and I very often, how do particular things get done in our lives? They might say to her, how did you publish this book? A lot of people say to me, I had a meeting on Friday at 3:00 in the Connection Center, people thinking God's calling them to start a church. They're like, Ben, how did you start a church in downtown San Francisco? And I'm like, I don't know. A lot of times we get asked questions about parenting, And I've got to tell you, my answer to those questions is a bit disappointing to you. Like, it's not real exciting. We've never answered any of those questions by saying, it actually happened overnight. It was crazy. We just, like, asked for it one day, and God gave it to us the next day. Guys, here's how it actually went down. Shauna wrote for over a decade before anyone wanted to publish her work. I did hundreds of things for Epic Church before it existed or anyone had heard about it. Parenting, we've spent thousands and thousands of nights around the dining table. We spent thousands and thousands of nights tucking our kids in, asking how we can help, and praying for them. You're like, Ben, like, how long do you do that? I don't know, like a minute, 17 seconds? Don't judge, we've got 4 kids. But let's just do a little bit of math. You tell me what a minute 17 is over thousands and thousands and thousands of nights for 16 years. Because we can't have it immediately, we forget that it all adds up. We forget about the best invention ever in the world, which is compound interest. But Shauna and I would just tell you, we would first say, listen, you don't understand where we came from. Okay, she actually had it going on. You don't understand where I came from. This is a true story. You're like, Ben, you're just, no. I'm like, if you could just know our history, you would hear us say the grace of God has done something we never could have imagined. You would hear us talk about the faithfulness of God. But then our answer after that, you're like, people always say this, like, Ben, I know, besides the God part, what did you guys do? Right? Give me the plan. The plan is pretty boring. It's just we show up. And then we show up the next day. And then we miss a day. But 98% of the time, we just show up. And when you keep showing up in your marriage and as parents and at work and in leadership and in your friendships and in the spiritual realm, something happens over time that won't happen overnight. Where are you just needing to show up? If people are like, tell me about your relationship with God. Listen, we got some special genes in our body and we just automatically have an intimacy with God that we don't have to do nothing to maintain. No, gosh, no. We have great coffee every morning, right? And for me right now, I sit in silence because my mind is so noisy right now. I need 20 minutes of silence. Shauna's working through her own study. We're both opening the scriptures, and then we spend between 2 and 5 minutes praying together, and we're doing this every single day, okay? We miss a few days, but, you know, it's like the every single day. I'm not exaggerating much at all. We pray together for 2 to 5 minutes. If I'm praying, it's 2 minutes. If she's praying, it's 5. She's more spiritual than I am. It's not exciting. But let me tell you this. You need to sow wisely every single day. But here's something to hold in tension with your sowing daily. You also have to be patient. And I know that's your favorite word like it is mine. You sow wisely every day, but you also have to be patient. I love what Henry Nouwen said in his latest book, Following Jesus. It's crazy to me. He's been dead for a bit of time, and he's still putting books out. I don't know how that works. But I love what he said here. This is his book, Following Jesus, released just this year. About what we're talking about, he said this: patience means to remain close to the moment and to fully taste where you are so that the seeds that are sown in the moment can grow and lead you to the future. But let me tell you how we like to live. We don't want to show up into the mundane, ordinary moments. We want to have game day, right? We want to have payday. We want to have bonus day. We want to have breakthrough in our spiritual lives. We want to have a spouse. Listen, if you don't show up to the moments, the things you long for aren't going to be what they should be. When I see young men who think they're going to get their character together the day they get married, bro, we're going to keep warning her to stay away from you. It just, I thought when we signed the marriage license, we would just change immediately. Can I get a witness? Any witnesses in the room, how that works? You don't incriminate your spouse, just yourself. I love what Nouwen says. He's like, you can't go around the moments. We all have a good dopamine hit, even from the spiritual realm, but you can't go around the moments. You just show up. Guys, most times on the mornings when we open the scripture and we pray together, I like it. It's great, but there's no like hallelujah chorus happening. Does that make sense? Now, what if I only showed up when I thought it was going to happen? It would never happen. Where is your faithfulness being questioned in your life right now, and what are you going to do about it? There's some place where you have gotten bored showing up, or you've gotten just weary. He says, don't get weary in doing good. You will reap a harvest in due season. I know you want due season to be yesterday. Due season is coming, though, if you don't give up. Think about this with me. Those of you who want to be married, what if what you're going to reap as a married man or woman, what if it's going to be in part determined by what you sow during your single years? By the way, that what if is a real thing. It's going to be determined by what you sow as a single person. What about the vocation destination you have in mind? Where you want to be 15 years from now? What if the position you have at that company 15 years from now is determined in part by how you sow during your entry-level position now that you just want to get rid of? Epic Church, what if what we're going to sow as a church 10 years from now, 2029, what if in part that will be determined by how we pray, serve, give, and love this year? You walk in here and you think you're just sitting into a day. What you're sitting in is in a reaping. Anybody glad someone was sowing around here before you could reap? Anybody? That's great. Job satisfaction's going way up. I'm sure there are people watching online who are just going crazy in their bedrooms right now. Like, I'm so glad you guys were sowing because now I'm reaping. I wish I could reap a harvest every day. Anybody else? Anybody wish every day was harvest day? I mean, if you had vineyard owners in here, they're like, we're doing pretty well to have one harvest a year. If we had harvest every day, wow. I wish I could. I wish it came faster and I wish it came easier. But for some reason, God has created this mechanism called a delay between our sowing and our reaping. Sometimes a brief delay, oftentimes it's a long delay. But here's what you got to know. While we can't reap a harvest every day, we can sow into a future harvest every single day. When I meet with church leaders, when I meet with business leaders, and you're not seeing or I'm not seeing the reaping in this season, here's a thing that God taught me years ago. You can't reap a harvest every day, but you can sow every day. Did you know that? Like, today can be a sowing day. You might not get the result. You probably won't. Every day is not harvest, but every day can be sowing. I can sow into my relationship with Jesus every day, with Shauna every day, with my kids every day, as a leader every day, as a teacher every day, as a communicator every single day, as a good friend every single day. Did you know you could do that? You can't control your reaping, but guess who controls the sowing? You do, and you do, and you do, and I do. I can sow every day. There's something that I will sow into today that will come out of my life in the future. There's something you're sowing into this day that will come out in your life in the future. How does that look? Here's your question to end our time. What can you start sowing into today that will lead to a beautiful harvest one day? What can you start sowing into today that will lead to a harvest one day? Starting something in some ways is the hardest thing, right? But you know what's harder than starting, don't you? Mm-hmm. Staying with it until it's finished. I don't know what you're up to. I don't know what's going on in your world, but I do know this. There are some things that you need to give up, and there are some things that you need to never give up. Guys, whether it's bad or good, whether it's flesh or spirit, one day, whatever you've been sowing, it's going to come out. And as you think about the trajectory you're on, is that what you want to reap? Is that what you personally want to reap? Because it's waiting for you somewhere out there. The one place where this correlation between sowing and reaping is not one-to-one is kind of the central events in all of our Christian history and all of history, some would say. Through the death of Jesus on the cross and his subsequent resurrection, there's not a one-to-one correlation between sowing and reaping. Anybody glad for that? Here's how the scriptures would say it. On the cross, as he was suffering, Jesus was reaping what we had sown as humanity through our sin. And for us, by his grace and through our faith in him and what he's done for us, we get the opportunity to reap what he sowed for us. We get to become sons and daughters, not because of any great act that we sowed into, but because of the act that he initiated and endured. He didn't just start it, he finished it so that we could reap a harvest. And if you don't know that reality today, that's one spot where the sowing and reaping correlation is inverted. But for the rest of us, what's ahead for you based on what you're sowing into? If we could go ahead and drop the lights, ask the band to come up on stage. I want to ask two questions, and I want to create a moment for us to pray, generally at least, about these two questions in your life. You've already heard them today. I'm going to ask the first one, and then I'll have you stand, and I'm going to say just a few things about that, and then I'll ask the second one. If today you know that there are things present in your life that are going to hijack God's future for you, if you know that there are things in your life that you need to give up if you're going to run the race God has for you, I want to ask you just to join me and stand for a moment. If there's anything in your life that you need to give up, just go ahead and stand. I'm standing with you, not like just ceremonially, but in reality. And I actually don't want you to close your eyes. I want you to look at me if this is you. I don't know all of you individually. I know a lot of you, but I want you to know that I do love you, and I believe God has a vision for you. Whatever you need to do to give that up, give it up. However much money you need to spend to give that up, invite us in. We'll try to help or figure out people who can help you give that up. Whoever you need to tell so that you can give that up, I'm going to encourage you to give that up. If there's a job you need to leave or a dating relationship you need to walk out of to be able to give up, the thing that's going to sabotage your future, I want to beg you to give that up. And now I just want to pray for you in this way. God, would you bring freedom? Would you bring courage? Would you help people walk out, maybe run out of the thing that's going to paralyze their future forever? God, they're going to reap what they sow, and they're begging you. God, would you give them the courage, and would you give them every resource they need to give up the thing that's going to sabotage what you have in store for them in the days to come? You may be seated. Now I want to ask that second question that adds that one word, but it's just as crucial. Some of you, you're sowing really good things into your life, but you're not seeing the fruit yet. You're becoming the kind of man or kind of woman you think God wants you to be. You're actually doing your vocation in a Christ-honoring way, and you're just not seeing the fruit. Some of you are working hard, but you're not seeing the financial fruit yet. Some of you, you're trying to do something in relationships, but it's just not quite working yet. So the question for you, and I want to have you stand if you have an answer to it. What in your life, is there anything that you need to never give up, even if you're tempted to in this season? Would you stand? Like, you need to hold on to it. Breakthrough is not there yet. And again, I want you to look at me. God has made you a promise, and not with arrogance, but you and I, we get to hold him to his promises. And he's not upset by that. He's faithful. The scriptures have even said that when we're faithless, he's still faithful. And I just want to urge you, with as much compassion, as much passion, don't give up on that. I don't know if the corner's tomorrow. I don't know if you'll round that corner as we enter 2020 or if it's a few years away. My guess is there are some corners we will only round when we enter into eternity. Don't give up. Don't give up being the kind of man or woman that God's called you to be. Don't give up on the possibility that God still can use you to do that thing you used to have a dream about doing long ago and it just hasn't happened yet. So for you and these people, God, I pray that you would give them that perseverance. God, I pray that you would give them a passion. I pray that you would surround them with the right individuals in this community and elsewhere that would say, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Breakthrough's coming. There is a harvest if you do not give up. You're not in this alone. I don't know what you're battling, but you're not in it alone. We're going to sing just this beautiful declaration as Seth and Mary lead us, that what still is in the ground today, and you, gosh, you wish you could see it. You're going to see it one day. And here's a principle that I forgot to share till this moment. Active faith in God's promise is what fills the space between our sowing and reaping. Not passive faith, wait till he shows up. No, actively waiting on the Lord, trusting and asking him to do it. Active faith in God's promise is what fills the space between our sowing and our reaping. Let's trust that he's going to do what he said and promised that he will do. Thank you so much for joining us on the Epic Church podcast today. If you would like to learn more, you can go to epicsf.com. I want to also encourage you to download the Epic SF app so that you can keep up with everything that God is doing in and through this community in downtown San Francisco.